What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. And I have a cold, so let's just deal with it. Week 7 of the Premier League. What a week. But before we get into that, I hope you're listening to this. And if you are listening to this, you can listen to this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, Libsyn, SoundCloud, iTunes, and this podcast is sponsored by onthevolleyapparel.com. Go to their website, onthevolleyapparel.com. Let me repeat that without any mistakes this time. Go to their website, onthevolleyapparel.com, and you'll see an assortment of ladies, tanks, tees, hoodies, and sweatshirts. They have men's tank tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, and it's a combination of hip-hop meets soccer emblems on the front of their apparel, and it's dope. And when I wear it, people stop me low, and they're like, yo, where did you get that? And I just tell them onthevolleyapparel.com and use my promo code ComicRant. You get 20% off. Elvis, the homie who runs the company, will hook that shit up. All right, so now that we've talked sponsor, let's get on with the podcast. And I'm going to take this podcast from the top of the league, the top of the Premier League, go through the results, discuss the teams, who they played, who they got coming up next. And so at the top of the league, number one spot with 19 points, enjoying themselves, just chilling. On top of the mountaintop with Liverpool right next to them is Man City. I mean, this week couldn't have gone better, you know. They've won 4 in a row, and they played Brighton Hove, and they gave it to them. They gave it to them. And some of the usual suspects showed up, and, you know, being influential players for the team, like Sterling, scored, had an assist. I love the way he ran the field, met that pass from Sonny, I think, and boom, back of the net. And, yeah, man, Sterling's just doing his thing. Sonny's just doing his thing. Aguero's just doing his thing. These players are just balling. And in the league, even though they had one hiccup against Wolves, who is not a bullshit team, Man City is just rolling. You know, they're at the top of the league. They got 21 goals for them. They got 3 against them. They got a plus 18 goal difference. Up next is Liverpool, which is a tough-ass match. It's the match of the matches because Liverpool, who I just mentioned, is number 2. So this is the fight for the top. Week 8 in the season, Liverpool is going to play Man City, and they're both next to each other with 19 points. Man City is ahead on goal difference, but yeah, so coming up this week, and that's the big game, Liverpool versus Man City. Man City's number 1, Liverpool is number 2. And Liverpool is number 2 in the table. Like I said before, they have 19 points, and they're tied with Man City. It's just goal difference is the difference between them just being barely beneath them, adjacently under the table. And they have Liverpool next week. But this week, they had to deal with Chelsea. And, you know, the one thing I can say about, so Liverpool has 1 draw and Man City has 1 draw, but Liverpool's, well, can I even say this? I was going to say that Liverpool's draw was against a quality opponent, Chelsea, but that you can say that Wolves has proved that they are quality too. Not as much quality as Chelsea. They don't have players who have won the Premier League, but they, you know, they've demonstrated so far that they're ready for the Premier League. So, but I would, you know, if you're going to drop points, if you're Liverpool, you would rather drop them against Chelsea. But they dropped points, they tied. It was a pretty even game. Both teams going back and forth. Liverpool made some subs in the game. And the subs are based on, you know, a few things. That Champions League is coming up this week. And Salah wasn't having a good game. So they took out Salah. And they put in a little Swiss guy. I want to make sure he's Swiss. Shaqiri. Shaqiri Swissish? Yeah, Shaqiri's from Switzerland. So they put in Shaqiri. And Shaqiri blew an opportunity as soon as he came in the game to tie the game. And he put that ball wide. And he didn't do much the time that he was on the field, you know? Like, I know Salah wasn't having a great game, but to sub him for Shaqiri, I think Shaqiri is trying to prove himself so much that he belongs there, and he has a limited amount of time to do it, that he tries too hard. And then when you put him in a game of this magnitude, it's not the type of game where you can relax and get into the game. So he felt the pressure to do, and he's the type, he has an ego where he wants to prove himself and do something that he might sometimes do too much. Now, at the same time, Sturridge came on, and with even less time, but I think Sturridge at this point feels he has less to prove. You know, he still wants to prove himself, but he's a little bit more relaxed than Shaqiri because he scored some goals. And they put Sturridge on, and man, with little time to go in the game, he's only been on the field a little bit, and he takes an audacious shot. A shot Sturridge has no business taking. A shot that is mathematically impossible. Like, you can get all the numbers and get the best mathematicians and try to add up and try to get the probability of what is the probability of a shot going in from where Sturridge took it, and based on the foot that he used. He used his left foot to take a right foot shot. And man, he outmeasured that goalkeeper, put it over his head, had it swerve with a banana and dip back like an S over the keeper's head. Ball did like several things in the air. And he did get the pass from Shaqiri, so I give Shaqiri the credit for passing the ball. You know, it was just like a lateral pass. And Sturridge just took it from there and did the rest. And it was an amazing goal. And what's even better about this goal is that Sturridge didn't do his dumb, normal, celebration, relieved. Players swamped him, jumped on him, not to celebrate, but mostly to stop him from doing that, pop lock goal celebration. That's terrible. He's a black guy that does a white guy pop lock celebration with less rhythm than a white guy doing a pop lock. So, an amazing goal. And Liverpool are tied on 19 points. A good game. Great balance on both sides. And Liverpool did their thing to come back and show some spirit, you know. And let's go to third in the table. Who Liverpool play? Yeah, we know they're playing Man City. So Chelsea, they're third in the table. Speaking of the Chelsea, they have 17 points. And they have 5 wins and 2 draws. They haven't lost yet. None of the top three have lost yet. And Next week they play Southampton. Jesus Christ. Lee, you are in trouble. All right. So, but funny thing about Chelsea, they had two draws in a row. They were up in this game and they acquitted themselves well defensively. Like, Sarri is very attacking minded, but, you know, their new coach, but, you know, they defended Liverpool well up until that impossible goal scored by Sturridge. So defensively, they showed that they can attack and they can defend. David Luiz had a pretty good game for him. I didn't see any lapses. You know, normally there's a lapse with him that could cost them 2 points or the game, but he was solid. And, you know, Chelsea just, you know, like a lot of people don't think Chelsea has a chance of winning the league. They count them out. They say it's between Man City and Liverpool, and they give the edge to Man City. But to me, I think, why shouldn't Chelsea win the league? You know, they've added Kovacic. They got a new coach who's progressive. The team can definitely defend because they proved that under Conte. They got all the players from Conte. They've added players. You know, they've added players that have strengthened their squad from last season. And so why can't Chelsea win the league? Why aren't they, you know, in the running? They've added Jorginho. He's a genius. He's had more touches than complete teams in the goddamn league. More passes completed than complete teams in over 7 games. He'll have more passes in one game than a team at the bottom of the table will have in all 7 of their games. They've added Mateo Kovacic, who's, you know, on loan from Real Madrid, and he's come up under the tutelage of Rakitic and Modric, and, you know, they got Hazard happy again. Ain't nothing like a happy Hazard. And, you know, and the crazy thing about this game against Liverpool that Chelsea played, it came off the heels of, I think, a Wednesday League Cup game that they played against Liverpool, where the game was tied and Hazard scored or won the goal to win and knock Liverpool out of the EFL Cup. Well, here comes Sturridge onto the field to score a wonder goal to tie this game. So yeah, I'll take your wonder goal, Hazard, and raise you, motherfucker, says Sturridge. But, I don't see a reason. Kepa was great for Chelsea, just want to add. I just don't see a reason why Chelsea doesn't have as good a chance as anybody to win this. They got all the players from 2 years ago when they won. Then they added. And then I get it. They have a new coach. I don't know why Chelsea's squad is rated so much below Liverpool's and Chelsea's. I don't. Like, I think they have as good a chance to win this shit as anybody else. You know, they, like, on their bench was Fabregas. They got depth. You know? I don't think Pedro played. Rudiger had a good game. Strong. I think he saved the ball off the line. You know? I just think anybody who's, like, dismissing Chelsea's chances of winning the league should not do that. They've strengthened their squad almost as well as Liverpool and Man City. And I think they're legit contenders. So that's my take on that. But great game at the weekend, man. Great game at the weekend. So, well, Chelsea. 17 points, number 3 in the Champions League spot. Right after them, 15 points, fourth place, Spurs. Spurs got two wins in a row after three losses, two in the league, one out of the league. And Spurs beat Huddersfield 2-0, two Harry Kane goals. And Spurs got a penalty in this game that I don't really think was a penalty. Like, player went down way too easy. Defender touched his back, and that motherfucker acted like the pitch was a pool of water and just went in head first, you know? But referee called it, and Harry Kane steps to the spot, and he scored the perfect penalty. Like, ain't nobody saving that. You couldn't save that Harry Kane penalty if you were a goalkeeper with three hands. That shit was not happening. That was going in the net. Corner just grazed the side of the inside of the net thing all the way to the back of the net. Like, you ain't saving that shit. So Harry Kane, who critics have said is tired because of all the World Cup play and all the games he's been playing, you know, he's doing his thing. And, yeah, two goals. Let me see if there's any stats on this game that I want to check. That I want to check out. I'm looking at the results. The results. Spurs, where you at, Spurs? Where you at? And also, it was tough watching these games because I went to Vegas on Friday, did a show with Tosh at the Mirage. And we ate, the show, it was a late show. Late show meaning 9:30. By the time the show's over, it's like 11. We ate, then we gambled a little bit. We played some blackjack. And then I went to my room at 2 o'clock and say 2:30-ish. And the first game was at 4:30 in the morning, which was the Man U West Ham game, which we'll get to. And then I laid in bed with my eyes open for 2 hours. Like, my body refused to go to sleep. And got up and watched that game. I think I just had to watch three games in a row. Kind of. That when the second game started is when I started drifting in and out of sleep. But my body was just too outraged with the Man U game to fall asleep. Yeah, but Kane, two goals. And Spurs doing their thing right now. They are in fourth place, 15 points. Arsenal, wow. They have 15 points also. They have 5 wins, 2 losses. You know, the same record as Spurs. No ties. They either win or they lose. Now, their losses are against legit teams. Well, I don't know. Well, Arsenal's losses are against Chelsea and Man City. And but they've won 5 in a row now, man. So great for them. Bobby Lee, you're good. Arsenal are good. And I'm going to go into their starting lineup a little bit for Arsenal. Let's see, Arsenal versus Watford. And they played a legit Watford squad, you know. Watford's got a decent record. They got a better one than Man U. So 9 teams have a better record than Man U this start of this season. So, yeah. So, took a while. Took a minute for Arsenal to get this going. And all the way till the 81st minute for Arsenal to get this going. But I think it was Iwobi crossed the ball and the defender scored a beautiful goal. Beautiful own goal. Craig Cathcart for Arsenal, but he's a Watford player. That's the problem. His goal was the identical accident of the goal that West Ham's first goal was against Man U. Like, the way he put it, but he went near post accidentally, and the West Ham player went far post on purpose when he scored it on Man U. And then Ozil gets one, so Arsenal grind it out. You know, this is good for them. Like, you're in a game that's going back and forth. Watford was given as good as they got. They wasn't fucking around either. They feel legitimized from their record so far, and they've had some results not go their way lately. So after starting the season, like, I think 4-0, they've had a loss, then they had a draw against Fulham, and then this was their chance to, like, get a W. So they went for it. You know, they worked hard, and they lost, you know, 2-0. And they're in the table, sixth, right below Watford. Hold on 1 second. Bless you, Ian. Gotta bless myself. I'm here by myself. So speaking of Watford, they're sixth in the table. And they're got 13 points. And they're right below Arsenal. They're foes who they played last week. Oh, let me just go back up. I'm sorry. And this weekend coming up, Arsenal plays Fulham. I'll put my money on Arsenal. They've been handling their business. I think Arsenal is taking care of the teams they're supposed to take care of. And that's the beauty of Arsenal right now. They're handling their business, unlike some other teams that are incapable right now. So their management is right. After Wenger's gone, their whole system, their management, their coach, the team, everything's flowing. The only problem they have is with Aaron Ramsey's looking for a new contract, and he's trying to get, like, I guess around 200 plus a week in that area. I don't know if he's going to get it. Can they survive without him? Yeah, they can. I like Aaron Ramsey, but he never really had a season since the season, like, 4 years ago when he's like, I was like, wow, that's Aaron Ramsey balling like that? So could Arsenal survive without Aaron Ramsey? Yeah. And let me see who Arsenal started, because they did. Let me go back to this. Something about their lineup where, so in Arsenal's lineup, they started the Uruguayan Torreira, and they started Xhaka, and they had Guendouzi on the bench. So they've been, but maybe he'll, you know, play in Europe this week. And Welbeck came in the game. I think he won the ball that was influential in the second goal. But yeah, so they're gonna try to get Torreira in, and I guess to harden their midfield. He's short, but they say he's fierce. I didn't see enough of the game to judge him. I like Guendouzi, but they're keeping Xhaka. They, you know, I guess Unai Emery realizes Arsenal needs to be tougher, so that's what he's going for, tougher. They already have offensive abilities, so he's trying to get them tougher. So, all right, let's see if it works and for how long it works. And when is Guendouzi going to play in the league? Mkhitaryan was on the bench. They got depth. They got Lichtsteiner, defender. Kolasniak. Having trouble with names as usual. So, also got a little bench. And they got a decent starting team. And yeah, they are where they are. 5 wins in a row. Good for them. And back to Watford. Next week, Watford plays Bournemouth. So Watford is 6. Like I was saying before, they have 13 points. Last 3 games, they had a loss to Man U, a tied with Fulham, and now they lost to Arsenal. And the next weekend does not get easier. They have to play Bournemouth. Bournemouth won this week, and they won literally on Monday, a few hours ago. And this is not going to be an easy game for Watford. I like Bournemouth more, but this could easily be a tie or another loss or a win. This is a toss-up, like who's going to win this game. But they're evenly kind of matched. And also, if Watford loses this, what does it do for their psyche for the rest of the season? Is this, if they lose this game, is this the game that makes them feel like, we're really not that good, and make them put their heads down and not hold it up as high as they were in the beginning of the season? Or do they win this, which would completely and immediately erect their self-esteem and confidence to thinking, yeah, we belong 6 and we could even climb higher? So this is kind of an important game for Watford, especially if you beat Bournemouth, who's right below them in the table. It's funny, like every team that, like Man City is above Liverpool and they play Liverpool next week. And Arsenal, let me see what I'm saying, played Watford this week, and they're above Watford. So the teams that played each other have a close relationship with each other based on where they fall on the table or who they're playing next. So Bournemouth is 7th in the table, right? They beat, as I said before, they won this week. They have 4 wins, 1 tie, and 2 losses. In 7 games, man, what would Man U do for this record? And we still wouldn't be happy. We'd be upset, but this is great for Bournemouth. And they got tied to a cliff, chained to, handcuffed to a cliff, and rained on by Bournemouth, by Burnley last week. But this week, they beat Crystal Palace 2-1. And the game was 1-1 late into the 80th minute. I'll tell you exactly into what minute this game was 1-1. Where is it? Here it goes, Monday. So David Brooks scored for Burnley early in the 5th minute. And then Patrick Van Aanholt scored a top shelf, top net, diagonal ball up into the near corner of the net, like through the goalkeeper's face and hands. Like, you know, one of those shots you don't expect. And you're like, audacious. Good shot, good goal. I like Van Aanholt. He has a lot of potential, and it's going to be good to watch him grow in the Premier League, and he's going to play for Holland. He's playing for Holland already, but he could be one of the players that resurrects him, so that's good. And then the game goes into the 87th minute, tied, when Saka just elbows and slaps and forearms a Bournemouth player in the face during a free kick. And a referee standing right there going, what are you doing, Sacco? I can see you. Like, you're in my direct vision. And this is a free kick. You're in the penalty box. Your hair looks weird. Why do you have that haircut? and you're throwing your elbow. You stand out. You're the only person I'm looking at because of your haircut. And you threw an elbow. And it's like, I'm staring at you because I can't believe you paid your barber to do that to your head. And now I'm going to have to give this penalty because my eyes were on you. You drew all attention towards you. And Stanislas stepped up, put that ball right up the middle. Goalkeeper dive. I don't know why goalkeepers don't just... a lot of penalties are taken up the middle. Stand there sometimes and see what the person is going to do. Like, if you dive, you might pick one of the three wrong places. But if you stand there and wait till they kick it, you have a chance to pick one of the three right places. And you might be standing directly in one of the right places. But if you, I just don't believe the diving, man. So, yeah. Yep. So, good for Bournemouth. They're one of my favorite teams to root for, you know. And they play Watford. Next. Next is Leicester City. They're eighth. Notice I haven't mentioned one of the top four teams from last year yet. I'm at number eighth. And it's Leicester. Leicester don't fuck around. They either win or they lose. They got 4 wins out of 7 and 3 losses. They got 12 points and they are 8th. And they have 2 wins in a row and this one against Newcastle. Like, they just walked through Newcastle. And Newcastle, at the game, there was a potential buy for Newcastle there. You know, this guy used to work for Chelsea and he's has a potential to gather an assortment of buyers together to buy Newcastle. But Newcastle, you know, that owner might not sell that team because he's making a lot of money advertising his main business through the team during the game. So he may never sell the team and he may never pay or spend money on more players. He might do it if he really feels desperate, but this nigga, I'll just call him a nigga, is not desperate enough right now. And he has a good coach. And yes, I'm calling Benitez a good coach, but because he's good for what? He's above what the Newcastle owner deserves. But Leicester, they win 2-0. And they're on a 2-game roll. And, you know, Newcastle's just what the doctor orders sometimes. Sometimes, you need a Newcastle. And Vardy scores on a penalty. And Maguire scores in the 73rd minute. James Maddison assists. So James Maddison scored on a free kick last week, I think. And had an assist this week. So his Leicester career is going well so far. So keep it up, James Madd. We'll see if we see you wearing that England gear. And ninth in the table. Notice I said ninth, and I have not mentioned a specific top four team that's currently playing in the Champions League so far. And it's Wolves. And Wolves are ninth, and they are mentioned above this team that I'm not mentioning right now, and they are a newly promoted team. But Wolves is not fucking around. They got their shit together. They have like the Portuguese youth team in their whole fucking team, and they are balling in the Premiership. So they have 3 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss. Wolves has only lost once. And they have 12 points, and they are ninth, and they have the last 4 games is a win against West Ham, who Man U couldn't beat, a win against Burnley, and a draw with Man U, and now they beat Southampton. And, yeah, man, Wolves is just doing what they need to do it, getting all them early points. And Ivan Cavalheiro scored in the 79th minute, and then Johnny in the 87th. And yeah, man, Wolves is doing their fucking thing. Like, this Wolves coach is not fucking around, man. He's not fucking around. He knows what he's doing. Sorry, Lee. Sorry, Southampton. It's just how it goes, bro. See some stats. Wolves had the ball. I mean, Southampton had the ball more. They both had 6 shots on target, but apparently 2 of Wolves' shots were more accurate than all of Southampton's. Southampton has 17 shots on goal. 17 shots. It's a lot of shots. No goals. But yeah. So, Southampton. You got to get it together. Who does Wolves play next? They play Crystal Palace. And yeah, we'll see how. This could be a tie against Crystal Palace. They play next. Could be a tie. I like to see Crystal Palace kind of bouncing back. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they got that snap back. We'll see if they got that snap back. So now on to the funeral part of the podcast. And it's the funeral part of the podcast because we are talking about the number 10 team. And the number 10 team finished number 2 in the league last year. And they are way off the pace. So the number 10 team has 10 points. Because they feel like if we're number 10, we should have the same amount of points to match the place we're in. That's not how football works. You know, but that's not what the number 10 team thinks. So the number 10 team is Man United. And in 7 games, this amazing 10th place team in the league has 3 glorious wins. 1 draw, which, shit, you thought that draw was bad, but not as bad as their 3 losses. We've scored 10 goals. We've let in 12. We have a -2 goal difference, and we are 10th. And the only positive thing on the horizon is that we play Newcastle next. That's the only, and if we fuck that up, Jesus Christ. So I woke up. I can't even say I woke up at 4:30 to watch the game because I lay in bed up. And maybe I was stressed. I would say I was stressed. Maybe my body knew more than my mind that we weren't going to win this game. But I felt, all right, this is perfect. It's West Ham. And I know West Ham had opened the season with 4 losses. Then they had a win. Then they had a tie. So they started getting points. But I was like, man, they still suck. We should be able to shit on their enthusiasm. And this could be a boost for us. Like, they should be our Red Bull. We shouldn't be their Red Bull. But, yeah, they Red Bulled us. We gave them a total confidence boost. They came out in this game from the beginning on top of us. They put passes together. They looked like the better team. Their possession was almost equal to ours. They hadn't beat us in, I think, 36 years or some shit like that. Or 36 games. And, yeah, they beat us this time, though. There's no question about that. It's going to have to start a new record. That one's out the window. And, yeah, we didn't. Well, let's see what Mourinho did. Let's talk about what he did. So lineup wise was weird, right? Because he had a back 3, and even though we have a bye, bye wasn't in that back 3, and
what's the, I'm trying to make sure who is in the back three. Why don't I see it? Lindelof, Smalling, Ashley, Shore, McTominay. So it's just so weird. So McTominay was kind of in the back three, but he was in the midfield. And then Shore and Young were wide. But to have McTominay in your back three is goddamn weird. But, you know, in Mourinho's defense, if you look at the City game, you know, so they're saying, why would you have such a young player play out of position in a position that he's not used to in a Premiership game? A lot of teams do it in a Premiership, and it's worked out fine. Players have been born or rebirthed in positions like this in games like this. And it wasn't like we were playing the best team in the league. So I don't disagree with him trying McTominay here. You know, I mean, West Ham had only had 4 points up to this point. So why not? Let's see what happens. I mean, Man City played, I'm going to say his name, Shevchenko, at, I think, left back this week. I'll get to it. I'll repeat later on in, let me go to Man City now. See, let me go to Man City to go to what they did. So this week, this is what Man City did. Man City against Brighton Hove. Their lineup. Played Zinchenko. Kind of in defense. Kind of like the way McTominay was. And he did fine. Had a good game. They're around the same age. Same pale complexion and height. Zinchenko is wider. But they can do it. Why can't we? So I don't argue about that. What here's the thing. We came out with a lack of intensity and a lack of desire. And I'm not even perplexed about that. Like anybody says they don't understand where Man U's lack of desire. Why does Man U play with a lack of desire and intensity? It's because, hey man, the dressing room is a fucking mess. And the manager's a mess. And the players are a mess. And the hierarchy, the people who run the front office, everything's a mess from top to bottom. So what you see on the field is a result of the chairman, the coach, and the players. So, like, the chairman, Ed Woodward, is exhibiting a lack of guts right now by not pulling the trigger, finding a replacement for Mourinho, and getting rid of him and getting somebody in there. And he might be looking for it, but the indecision and lack of decisiveness that he's exhibiting is also translating to Mourinho showing a lack of indecision with changing his lineups and putting players in places where they're not normally used to, and changing formations and tactics, which confuses the players. And then the players on the field are playing with the same amount of indecision and lack of conviction as Mourinho is coaching, as the top brass at Man U is exhibiting. So the whole thing is a mess. The structure is loose. The framework of the entire club is shaky. And that's why you're getting shaky performances from a team of this caliber. And can you even say that we have caliber? Because Lukaku is not exhibiting, like, it's just not desire. There's the quality is not even there in the individual players. Like, besides a Rashford goal, like, we didn't really exhibit any quality, like individually. Like the players have. If you had the video game, the FIFA game, and you put the picked Man U, and if you went down the power of each players, it would look like the players had, you were playing the game and the players had lost their power rankings and that they weren't as good as you thought they would be if you were playing with a Man U team. Lukaku can't control the ball, do simple shit. Pogba ain't doing what he's supposed to do. He's getting tackled, he's going down, and he's like gesticulating to the ref, hey man, this is a foul. And the ref's like, play on. And he makes some good passes. But I love him, but he's not good enough right now. Shaw didn't have a great, Matic, who's a solid player, even admitted he had a shit game. Like when Shaw, who was on the fringes of being out the club, is like, the players got to play better and we have to live up to, like when Shaw is being a leader, you know you're in trouble. Because this guy didn't start exhibiting ambition until this year. So he's a vocal, tough leader now. Shaw, a player that was on the outs. So we're in trouble. And we got Valencia coming up this week in Champions League. The only good thing about Valencia is they might not be as good as we thought. Like Valencia is 14th in La Liga right now. They've had one win. Is that five draws? So they're good at drawing. And one loss in their seven game. So, like, this might be our chance. But I don't even know if I want us to win in Champions League this week. Why win if we have problems that need to be fixed anyway? And Woodward needs to be a leader. First of all, and we do need a director of football, even though I don't even know what that really is. But it seems like all the successful teams have one, and we don't. And when Fergie left, another guy left with him that was very influential in team player picking and just team shit. And I forgot his name. I've been watching interviews all morning. So we need one of those guys to make decisions. That Woodward is good with financial shit and making the club money. So if he wants to make the club more money, get a guy like that to make good player calls and buys. And get our structure together, our youth system, so we can get players up. We do have youth players in our current team. But man, this whole thing is a mess. Like Man U is a mess. And that's just what you're seeing on the pitch. I'm not surprised at what we're seeing on the pitch. I'm not going to be perplexed anymore when we have bad games, because we're playing how we should play. Because the whole fucking thing from top to bottom is a mess. So I'm going to just arrest my surprise and just be like, this is what should be happening when everything back behind the scenes is a mess. Like, we don't have any scaffolding. So fuck it. We're playing wobbly because we are really wobbly, you know? So congratulations, West Ham. Like, I want to give you props for winning this game because you came out and did what you were supposed to do, but we didn't. So just don't get cocky. I mean, it's a great game for you. You won. And this will give you impetus to and encouragement for your upcoming games. But yeah. Another thing about playing Newcastle this week is like Benitez and Mourinho are fierce rivals. So he's not going to want to lose to Benitez or anything with a Benitez on it. So let's see what he's going to do. But Mourinho has no confidence. The team has no confidence. And Ed Woodward is not exhibiting courage. He's not, like, pulling the trigger up top. So that's why we look toothless on the field. And we play Newcastle. Benitez and Mourinho are bitter rivals. And, we need to, I don't like Benitez. Like, I'm more Mourinho than Benitez, so I hate to see Benitez win. And when he wins against my team, that hurts more. So what are you going to do? This whole thing is a sham. Pogba, I don't know what to say. I said it. Let's go on. Everton. Everton is number 11. They have 9 points. They're back on track. They beat Fulham 3-0. And I got to say something about Fulham. Let me find it. You know, saw some of the highlights of this game. But that, let me see, lineups. Here we go. Even though they lost 3-0, that Jean, Michael, Siri be balling. Siri be balling. He set up some plays, started some attacks for Fulham that they didn't put away. And some quality issues in finishing there. And it, you know, Everton just has more quality. So they got 3 goals out of their quality. But, yeah, man. And this could have been a 4-0 game. Gylfi Sigurdsson could have had a hat trick, but he had a brace because he got a penalty and didn't score it. And you're like, fuck. But the goal that he scored in the 56th minute was pretty. It's a good mathematical shot. Great calculation with the left foot. Banana, low, in the run of play. Good shit. Goal. And, yeah. And then he scored again in the 89th. And, yeah, man. So, Everton are back on track. And Fulham, welcome to the Premiership. It's rough out here, bro. It's rough. Don't care how much preparation you did to get up here. It's rough. Ask Man U. They'll tell you stories. Burnley. 2 wins in a row. What up, Burnley? Are we coming back? And they beat Cardiff. And yeah, man. Burnley got 2 wins in a row. And this is, you know, a 2-1 win against a promoted team. It's some shit that Burnley could do. Let me go into a little bit of the game. Wrong button. Burnley. Yeah, they played on Sunday. And Goodmanson scored first for Burnley. And then Cardiff tied it up. And Sam Vokes put them ahead for Burnley. And Burnley wins this match. And, yep. So Burnley got 2 wins. And they are in 12th place. They have 7 points. And I think they'll improve their standings as the season goes on. It's kind of a slow start, but not really. You know, we know they're not going to win the league, but we expect them to stay in it better based on their like, this is like every season Burnley's been in the league, they've gotten stronger. And this is the first season that they've been in the league that they've started out slower than their prior seasons. So, but maybe this is like, oh, we're in the league complacency. We don't have to panic like before. We're more relaxed now. You know, we can stay in this league. We don't have to be like pressure ourselves from the beginning of the season to the end. Like we'll pull this together, which is a dangerous thing. But there's a comfort from being in a league for like 4 seasons that you don't have in the first 2-3 seasons. So, and you know, Burnley was in it, also started the season in the Europa League. They're out of it now, and since they've been out of it, they won 2 out of their last 3. So, let's see. Who did they play? They got Huddersfield. They can do a Huddersfield. They could do them. But let's see if they will.
And another team with 7 points, 13th place, Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace lost to Bournemouth. We discussed this game earlier. And yeah, man, that penalty that you gave up in the 87th minute, not a good look. And now you play Wolves this weekend, and those guys are not playing. So, Crystal Palace, you got your hands full this week. I don't know. You know, sometimes Crystal Palace can improve from one bad week. So, I don't know which Crystal Palace is going to show up. They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish, you know. And maybe Wolves will be like, oh, it's just Crystal Palace, because that's how good Wolves are playing right now for them. It's just Crystal. They could look down on Crystal Palace, and you know. But let's see if you know Wolves keeps their shit together and focuses and gets to this. But yeah, we will see if, bro. Number 14th are the Hammers. The Hammers, they have 2 wins, one tie, 4 losses, and one of those losses is not Man U. And they have 7 points, and they beat Man U 3-1. Let's talk about their performance and their goal scorers. You know, let's give them some props. And Felipe Anderson, you know, scored in the 5th minute. Stylish goal. Brazilian style, and yeah, man, let the ball run through his legs, tapped it with the back of his heel, boom, and De Gea did not stand a chance. And then the second goal in 43rd minute, right before the end of the half, when you think Man U is going to get their shit together, that ricochet off Lindelof goes in the goal, De Gea did not stand a chance. And then that noble pass to Marko Antonovic in the 74th minute, splitting the defense. Antonovic is just standing there by himself in a fucking burgundy jersey, which the defense should know is not their jersey. And if it's not their jersey, you probably should be marking him because he's going to try to score on you. That's a rule of defense. If somebody's standing onside by himself near your goal and he's not wearing your jersey, you should probably mark him. They didn't. And he got the ball, kept his cool, beat one of the best goalkeepers in the world. And De Gea lost that game of chicken. He waited for Antonovic to make his move. And Antonovic moved the right chess piece, made the right shot. Calculated this moment precisely and scored. And right after Rashford made the game 2-1, it was over again. 3 minutes later. And yeah, Man U lost. 4:30 in the morning, Man U fucking lost to a team that they should have beat. Team that they should have beat, that had that team that shouldn't have more desire than them, but we know why they have no desire. There's no question. It's just the question about Man U is like, when are they going to fix this? Somebody has to step up and fix this. And once they start fixing it, everything will correct itself. If nobody's stepping up to fix some shit, and it has to be somebody at the top who's getting paid big dollars has to exhibit some balls and earn their fucking check. And that's the only way Man U's going to fix this. Next for West Ham is Brighton Hove. And this is not no gimme. You know, Brighton Hove can give you trouble. And this is another example in the table where the next game for West Ham is the team right below them in the table. So West Ham's 14 with 7 points. Brighton Hove is 15th place with 5 points. And Brighton Hove would love to, like, you know, get some points and pass West Ham. So there's a table incentive. Where you are in the table incentive, who you're playing next is right above you. And who you're playing next, West Ham, is right below you. Do you want to keep them, you know, your foot on their neck? Keep them
beneath you. So West Ham is going to come into this game with momentum, the momentum of a win, a draw, and a win. And Brian Hove is going to come into this game with the lack of momentum of two losses. So let's see if they can turn this around, get some points against West Ham. Brighton, you lost to Man City. You lost to a team that you probably should have lost to, so you shouldn't be so down, you know? You shouldn't be so down. You lost 2-0 to the champs. You know, record point-setting champs. So, and the loss before that was to Tottenham. So you lost to two teams. You're in a two-game losing streak, but to teams, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed to lose to. So, you know, your confidence shouldn't be that shot. You should still believe in your system. And you also just got the English technical director from the World Cup squad to join you. So let's see how fast his influence on the team, you know, how long it takes for him to influence this team. So West Ham, Brighton Hove next weekend, can't call it. And Southampton, man, they are 16th. They have 5 points, and they lost their last two. One to Liverpool, one to Wolves. And the next game is against goddamn Chelsea. God damn it, Southampton. What can I say? This is not great. Chelsea just tied with Liverpool, as I discussed earlier. And they can attack, and they're getting better at defending. You know, like, Liverpool can attack their ass off. So if Liverpool could only get one and it had to be a wonder goal, how the fuck is Southampton going to score against Chelsea and keep them out? Doesn't look great, Southampton. But at least you're going to be losing to a team you should lose to. If you surprise me, I will be surprised. But if you don't surprise me, I won't be surprised that you didn't surprise me. So, all right. Fulham, they're number 17. They got 5 points. They just lost to Everton. And their next game is against Arsenal, who beats everybody they're supposed to beat. So if on paper, this is a loss for them. On paper. But we'll see if you could rip up the paper and reshuffle the pieces and make your own page. I don't think so. Arsenal's rolling. They got depth. And maybe the fact that they'll have a midweek game will throw their side off a little bit, so you have a chance there. We'll see. Newcastle, up to their old tricks with their old manager. Lost to Leicester 2-0. But playing Benitez, I think the players like Benitez. And Benitez has a special hate for Mourinho. Chip on his shoulder against him. And has a better chance of galvanizing his players to play Man U than Mourinho has of galvanizing his players to play against Benitez. So you have, that's your fighting chance on Saturday, October 6th, Newcastle. That your players like you and your organization is just as much a shambles, but at least there's a part of the organization that's together, and that's the players and the coach. Meanwhile, the coach is at odds with the top. In Man U, the top's at odds with the top. The middle, the coach is at odds with the top. The coach is at odds with the players. The players are at odds with the coach. But at least at Newcastle, the coach and the players, I think, are together. So just based like this, you have a shot. I'm a Man U fan. I can't say you're going to win this. But if you do, I would not be surprised. And if you do, you might be doing Man U a favor, because that'll force Ed Woodward to pull the fucking trigger if he doesn't pull it midweek. All right, Cardiff, you're 19th. You have 4 losses in a row. You lost to Burnley, 2-1. Almost did it. Almost got a point from this one. But you didn't. Let me see where you lost the plot. Cardiff. Because I just saw you did it. You played on Monday. Cardiff, Burnley, there you go. And Sam Vokes got you. Yeah, went over this earlier. Sam Vokes got you. Tied it in the 60th minute. Couldn't hold on. And Burnley, they've been in this league. They can be tough. They can grind you. They can attack you. They could do what they got to do, man. So they're back to their winning ways. And they weren't going to let you have a point. No sharing. No sharing. We need all these points, says Burnley. Next week, you play Spurs. Wow. Cardiff, this is, man. So you have 4 losses in a row with a possible definite 5. Like, once in a while, Spurs gets their cart turned over, but I think they've had that a little earlier, a few games ago. I don't think they have Champions League, so that might help you. But this is tough, Cardiff. Welcome to the Premiership, and not welcome to the Premiership at the same time. Huddersfield is 20th. And they got no wins. They got 2 points. And 3 losses. Just lost to Spurs. You play Burnley. Burnley's going to try to get that. But I think you have a good shot against Burnley. Why not? Huddersfield. But what's the difference between you this year and last year? What's going on? Last year, you won early in the season and you had some impressive, like, wins and ties, and you got out the gate better than everyone expected. This year, you're getting out the gate the way everybody expects you to get out the gate last year. So now you're at the bottom. You got only 2 points, which is what people expected from you last year. And you're doing what you did, you should have did last year, this year. So, and you got Burnley though, but you've beat good teams before. You've taken points from good teams. You proven last year you could do that. So you could do that against Burnley. This is not like a guaranteed loss like Cardiff. So that's the table. Now you know who everybody's playing. You kind of know everybody's situation. And let me just, Champions League is this week. So let me just say who's playing who. Tomorrow, Man City plays Hoffenheim. I'm going to give that to Man City. Man City did fuck up already and lose the first game in their group, Champions League game. And I don't see it happening again, even though Hoffenheim's a German team. But, yeah. Then Juventus plays Young Boys, so I'm going to give that to Juventus. I wonder if Juventus, when did, let me see something. Juventus. I wonder if Ronaldo can play. I'm not sure Ronaldo can play. I think he got sent off in the... Valencia game. I think he got a red, so... I'm not sure if he's playing. But that's Young Boys' fighting chance. But if they come out with the spirit that they came out against Man U, they can make it entertaining, but that should be Juventus's. Real Madrid plays CSKA Moscow. Real Madrid, they're tied with Barcelona at the top of the league, but they've had some ties and some scoring woes. But they should be able to handle CSKA Moscow. I'm not going to go through it. Bayern is playing Ajax. Bayern should handle Ajax. That's tomorrow. And Man U versus Valencia. Both teams ain't doing great in their leagues. So, hey, man. I just don't know why Valencia is not doing great. But I think this is a home game for Man U. But home games haven't mattered this season so far. So what? Go down to PSG on Wednesday. Plays Red Star Belgrade. PSG should have this. Like the first game they had to play Liverpool. This is a step down. So PSG should have this. I'm going for all favorites here. What else? Liverpool, Napoli might be tough. Liverpool should be able to handle Napoli. That's on Wednesday. Dortmund, Monaco. That could go either way. That's a tough call. Tottenham versus Barcelona. Barcelona tied this week. I think. Did they tie? Let me see. Let me make sure. Barcelona. Yeah, I think they tied with Bilbao this week in the league. Yep. I don't think Messi started this game either. They kind of rested him. Yeah, for the Champions League game. So that's part of the reason why. But, yeah. Barcelona versus Tottenham. Tottenham, I think, beat Real Madrid last year in Champions League. And we thought, oh, shit, Tottenham is finally getting the hang of this thing. But, this is Barca. You always put your money on Barca. So I go Barca. And Atletico, they're third in the La Liga. And they play Club Brugge. And they should win that. So those are my predictions for Champions League. And thanks for listening. Some people hit me up on Twitter. One guy was like, hey, man, I'm glad I found this podcast. So I'm happy to hear that. I hope you guys tell other people about the podcast. You're listening in SoundCloud, prescribe, and yeah, man, let's keep doing this. I'm going to start having some guests soon. It's just easier for me right now with all the shit that I'm doing or me being a procrastinator to get guests on, but I will have some soon. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. Love you. Have a safe, fun week. And hit me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic or on Instagram at Ian Edwards Comic. I'll respond eventually and we'll talk football. One.